make that work easier. And may we listen to the cries of those whose experience with law enforcement has not been as just as we would seek. Lord of all nations, bring us peace. Bring an end to wars and rumors of wars, to the senseless violence in Ukraine and Sudan, in Nigeria and in our own country. Make us your peacemakers, seeking faithfully and creatively to walk in your paths of peace. Bless all your children, those we know and those whose faithfulness is hidden to us. Bless all your children, including those faithful faces who are in churches big and small in our area, in our nation, and around the world. May we continue to do your work together. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Good morning. I am glad to be here and to worship with all of you. This is a little bit like coming home to my college church, but it is always good to be here with you. This morning we are talking about Anna. Anna, a prophet at the temple, who was of great age, someone that we think of as always being there. When we read this scripture, so much of the focus is on the presentation of Jesus to the Lord 8 days after he was born. Maybe we think about the sacrifice of two turtle doves or a pair of pigeons. That's what his parents were headed to the temple to do. We think of the excitement of his birth, the life of service that Jesus was preparing for, and just the anticipation of his life. Maybe we think of Simeon, who grabbed the baby and praised God with this big flamboyant speech, but we don't often think about Anna. I'm going to read her part again. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer, night and day. And at that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna, the old widow. Anna, the person who was always at the church. She might have been someone who society could just walk by. She was always there at the church. Maybe she was there saying good morning to everyone who came in, but maybe she wasn't always thought about. She lived at the temple and devoted her time to fasting and praying, worshiping all day and night. Her whole life that we see in this story was of service to God. Now, life could not have been easy for her. She had only 7 years with her husband, and then the rest of her time she was alone. This was in a society in which the widows were lower on the rungs in society, in the social ranks. She could have been widowed for 60 years or more. She's 84 at the time of this story. Maybe she lived at the temple because she was poor and homeless. Maybe she lived at the temple because that's where she needed to be to fulfill her duties as a prophet. Either way, she devoted her whole life to waiting and preparation so that she would be ready at the right moment to tell the whole community about Jesus. As Jesus was brought into the temple that day for the ceremony, Simeon is the one who jumped up right away and made his presence known. He took the baby in his arms and praised God. This is all a good part of celebrating Jesus. But then we see Anna. She waited until the right moment to share her praise. She captured the best moment to speak about the child who was brought to the temple so that everybody could listen. All who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem listened and heard as she spoke. It didn't say that anybody heard Simeon. She was patient, and she was always there, so she was able to find that right moment to share the news, the good news, so that everyone could celebrate. Who is it that you think of when you think of someone who is always at the church, ready to see you, ready to greet you, ready to share in your life? Someone who is the very fabric of the church. I have several stories from around the Middle Pennsylvania district of people that I have met in the last 2 years serving as moderator. My first story, Saturday, 8 days ago, we had Heritage Fair at Camp Blue Diamond. That day is filled with fellowship, with people all across the district. Many, many people serve to help get ready for that day. People work at everything from cooking a batch of soup at their home church to setting up the booths to buying food and crafts or bidding on items at the auction or just coming and talking. Every year, a lot of the same volunteers come and they help make that day a success. One of those people is George Etzweiler. Maybe you know George, I don't know. He is 103 years old. And every year he still comes to help direct traffic. Many years ago, he started as the treasurer of Heritage Fair and worked in the bank there. He passed that on to Sue and now to Tiffany, but he still comes to help. And he's often at the bottom of the hill just as you come to the entrance of camp. So everybody who comes to Heritage Fair during that two-hour window that he is serving gets greeted by George. Even at his great age, he can continue to serve in the ministries of the church. He is a faithful servant, just like Anna. Last year, I also had the privilege of celebrating with Bethel Church. They had a 150-year anniversary. That was a day, as you might imagine, of remembering and joyous festivities. Bethel is one of the smaller churches in the district, but that day the church was packed. Children, grandchildren, people who grew up in that congregation and then moved away had all come back to celebrate. The few faithful servants who are always there at Bethel week in and week out put together a wonderful day of celebration of their history and of service and witness to our Lord. One person who was remembered often that day was Vernon Ritchie. He was another one of those faithful servants, just like Anna. Vernon taught Sunday school and he was a deacon. He was part of the very fabric of that church. He's no longer with us, but every Sunday, he included a poem from James J. Metcalf. and I have one of his to share with you. My lips could call good luck to you or whisper happy landing, and I could promise you the depth of faithful understanding. But I am sure no other thought or message would impress you as lovingly or lastingly as asking God to bless you. And so I say, God bless you, friend, in every good endeavor, and may his guiding grace be yours forever and forever. And although Vernon was no longer with us and at the time of that celebration, I could see that his teaching and messages of good news lived on in the people of that congregation. Let's step back into Anna's world. The scripture says, at that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Who is it that she was talking to? All who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Probably this meant most of the Jews. They were looking for and waiting for and expecting the coming of the Messiah. What would our world look like if we went out in the street today and started to speak about the birth of Jesus? Would our community be receptive? If I went out and stood in the intersection of 17th and Moore with a megaphone to share this story, I'd probably receive a lot of funny looks. Maybe a call to the police. But Anna knew her audience. She had been patiently waiting for just the right time to share this good news. We too must find ways to serve our community with the right message at the right time. This means paying attention to what our community needs and then sharing the right kind of help and right kind of support in a way that also conveys the good news. It might not take spoken words about Jesus. Our actions and kind of kindness and caring can share that good news for us. I have several other examples from around the district of how congregations are meeting the needs of their communities. University Baptist and Brethren Church and State College, UBBC, recently recognized that prisoners in one of the prisons in that area are not currently receiving their allotted time outside because the prison does not have the facilities to do that. They don't have a space for the prisoners to go outside. So UBBC is currently working with some other organizations in that area to help facilitate the creation of an outdoor secure area so that the prisoners have access to fresh air. It's not part of the community that you see walking down the street, but it is very much a part of the community of State College. Parkview has partnered with a local women's shelter and turned their parsonage into a thrift shop. The thrift shop is run on volunteer labor. All of the items are donated, so all of the proceeds that come into that shop go to support the women's shelter. They saw a need in the community and found a way to help address that need. Anna's people needed a message of good news to provide hope at the right time, and she shared that. Bedford provides a space for Alcoholics Anonymous meetings every week. 40 to 50 people come to share in that meeting. Bedford is sharing in the ministry of accepting and caring for people just as they are. AA isn't a religious service, and the words about Jesus' ministry to others aren't necessarily being shared at that meeting, but the act of providing space and acceptance for people as they are in their life is caring for others, just as Jesus showed us to do. Clover Creek has a ministry that they call John's Way. It is a ministry of sharing medical equipment. John Scott Baird was someone who was a part of their congregation and was wheelchair bound due to a genetic disorder. In his memory, they have a ministry of collecting, cleaning, and then distributing medical equipment, such as wheelchairs or walkers, that are no longer needed by one person, and sharing those with others who do. They have a whole building filled with donated equipment to share with others, all free of charge. This is in memory of John, and his faith lives on in their service to the community. Service and witness in the name of Jesus can take many forms, none of which are too small or unimportant. Let's take another step back into the scripture. Just before Anna's part, we hear Simeon's praise and then his blessing of the parents and the child. But he ended his blessing with saying, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." A sword will pierce your own soul. I wonder what was going through their thoughts. How does a blessing end like that? How does that fit with the joyful celebration that they were there for with their new baby? You know, from the very beginning, Mary and Joseph had to deal with the foreshadowing of his death. But then Anna came into the story. She had really been there all along, was ready and waiting. Maybe she stepped in and talked to those parents and said, "Yes, your baby is our hope for a better world." Maybe she comforted them and reassured them. I don't really know, but I know that she had taken the time leading up to this to reflect and was very much present in that moment. I imagine that her grief from only getting to spend 7 years with her husband had helped prepare her. She had held on to the hope of the Messiah coming for 84 years. Maybe some days in her life it was only a tiny glimmer of hope, but she kept on that and held on to that hope, and then she was able to share it with the world. Anna didn't miss that one moment that she had been waiting for. She had prepared and was always there. She used the gifts that she had, her voice and her years of reflection. You too can serve in any way. It doesn't need to be your voice. Middle Pennsylvania Disaster Ministries has a ramp ministry. The people who serve in that group have gotten really good at building ramps to help modify homes to make them accessible for people who can no longer go upstairs. They will go to the home, measure, and figure out how the ramp needs to fit, and then they'll go and build the ramp in sections at someone else, at a garage. They'll bring the ramp in pieces to the home of the person who needs it and put it all together, often in, you know, one day at the home. This makes a huge difference in the lives of people who are having mobility struggles. Disaster Ministries has turned sawing, nailing boards into the work of Jesus. We can all serve, just like Anna. Anna, the old widow who lived at the temple, waiting for just the right moment when God did something new, she is an example to all of us. Be like Anna. Thank you.
Oh,
go out into the community and into the world, sharing the message of the good news of Jesus' birth. Go be Anna. Amen.